Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. Tonight, we are bringing you episode 122 of The Best Hub on the Net, featuring your hosts, one shy of a Kingsley Mac, that is Sin and Dez Raven. Dez, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing magical.
Oh, man, how have the roles have changed here?
I know, right? Since you love it. Answering, I figured I'd take it.
I like it. And we were talking a little bit before the show here. You know, anytime Kingsley, one of us can't make it, especially Kingsley, since he gets to run the ship most of the time, kind of feel like a lost puppy dog almost. It's like, I know what to say, but like, I really don't know what to say or what to even lead with.
Right.
But we seem to manage through it each time. I think this is maybe the second, third time maybe we've had to do it.
Somewhere in there.
Well, man, listen, what have you been up to this week in gaming?
I've been playing video games. Yeah, we'll go with that. not primarily. I've been kind of stuck on, still a little stuck on Borderlands. Doing a few raids in Destiny when I can. Yeah, since last recording, we had Kingsley's 100th Deepstone Jamboree, which led directly into a vault of glass. Because why not?
I do remember a lot of that raid, and I remember there being a lot of Sin beat up at that time.
Oh, yes, there was, and I almost want to apologize for
almost.
Almost.
Man, I just sit there and take it.
Yeah.
Pause.
I don't know how or why, but yeah, somehow you became like the focal point of like everything.
Oh, jeez. But that was fun. The 100th raid.
It was. Ended up being my 50th, which, like I said, couldn't have like timed that better if I tried.
Yeah, that is definitely good try or good timing.
Yeah, and ended up getting Vex on that Vogue run too. So,
have you tried it out since?
For a hot second.
Now, I did go back to it the other day, and I was trying to work on the Catalyst, because I have done a Catalyst run since getting it, and it's a little bit to get used to. I don't know if it's that great. I don't know if I would use it in majority of the series, but it's okay.
I believe the words you're looking for are hot garbage.
I'll take hot garbage for 200 outs.
Right? Yeah, it's just in a weird place. But to be fair, Vex always has been in a weird place because it's technically a fusion rifle, but it functions like an auto rifle. So it has like auto rifle tuning, but now it has a linear fusion rifle function. So it's just all over the place. And I'm not surprised it's not that great. Because I mean, otherwise, we might end up with freaking original D1 vanilla Vex, like, terrorizing everything.
It wouldn't necessarily be a bad idea to have something a little stand out right now. I think I think overall, the choices are kind of a little bland. You know, that might certainly change when we lose probably the effectiveness of, can't remember the name of it. The one you get from, that exotic grenade.
Anarchy. There we go.
Yeah, that's it. I always seem to forget names of things like when I'm on the spot and then I remember them when I'm going to like, oh, I need to pull Anarchy from my vault. I know it then. I just can't think of it on the spot.
Right.
But when that changes next season, you know, we are probably going to be left, you know, with a very few, unless the meta shifts again and they do a little more buffs and tweaks to some other weapons. You know, Sleeper with the recent change seems to be a more viable option. And I've used that a few times in GMs, and it seems to work pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, if the numbers I looked at were modified for its buff, I mean, it is pretty standout as far as DPS options go.
Oh, yeah.
It might actually kind of be top again if you count Deathbringer, but Deathbringer just seems so situational to me.
Yeah. Played around with that a few times. Not a big fan. Not doesn't really fit my playstyle. So what else in gaming? What else this week in Destiny?
I've literally just logged on to Raid Destiny, so yeah. literally. I just started up like the Borderlands DLC. Got a in the summer sale for PlayStation, there's a game I found for $4. it is called One Finger Death Punch 2. Yes, it's a legitimate sequel. but no, it started like the original game was this game on PC. And the reason why it was called One Finger Death Punch is because the only controls you needed were either left click or right click. And it's like this two-dimensional, you're on like this horizontal plane, enemies come at you, you have a specific range of attack, and if enemies get within that range, you either hit right-click or left-click to attack the enemies. There's like mechanics they threw in there, but it's just a simple premise that complicates over time, and I was just surprised to see such a thing on PlayStation, and it is hectic and quirky and weird, and all the violence is in stick figures. So, you know, fun times for everyone. I got it thinking it was going to be like one of those like fun casual things I could play through. Crap gets hard pretty quick. Mainly because of like reflexes. You need them. I don't always have them, so. Woof.
But it's still fun. Really for any game, right? You gotta have the reflexes. Yeah,
pretty much. You either gotta have the reflexes or the knowledge to circumnavigate them.
True story. Man, I think this week I've done some Rocket League. I've been throwing that in here and there, not as much as I, you know, been hitting it as far as. I would say hitting it hard, about a month or so ago when I got back into it, but I log in and do a few matches here and there. Definitely did some raiding this week. Got their beat up session during the 100/50 clears. And interesting enough, you know, talking about raids, I was looking at my raid clears and Sherpa runs. Yesterday, I think I'm four away. Four away, just looking at the raid report for the Vault of Glass emblem, which, you know, I definitely want to go for that. But intriguing enough for Last Wish, I've got 23 clears with 22 Sherpas.
Nice.
So that means I've played with somebody new almost every time. And it probably could have well been the first time, too, because I don't know if they count that. They don't count the Sherpas until you get your first clear.
Yeah. Actually, so, yeah.
That was definitely interesting. And I think the most I've raided was Leviathan. I cleared 53 raids in Leviathan with 36 Sherpas.
Nice.
I definitely don't raid as much as you guys, but I've definitely been picking up much, much more recently, especially at night. Because I've seemed to, even though I'm working from home, I still seem to be sleeping less than what I had been when I was working and commuting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just a change in, you know, my routines, and I'm just kind of, my mind hasn't gotten acquainted with it yet. But yeah, I've been up and at it with y'all in these raids, so it's been a little bit fun. I think that's been about it. I haven't even jumped back into Valhalla. I had been looking at the Final Fantasy VII Remake, repurchasing it to finish that playthrough, since it is 50% off right now on PlayStation for the PS4 version, so the base game. So definitely a grab to get while it's still on sale.
Indeed.
If you're looking to enjoy some of that.
Highly recommended. And as Sin was asking me pre-podcast, getting the PS4 version will upgrade you to Integrate for free. So that's the PS5 version. So even if you have a PS5, buying the PS4 version might not be a bad idea, because you get access to the upgraded PS5 version with 60 frames, dynamic lighting, blah this, blah that, all the good stuff.
Right. And we're talking, it may not include the intermission, which is the DLC content.
Yes.
You probably still have to go buy that separate.
Yes. You will definitely still have to go buy that separate. Yes. Fair. But as far as I know, that's like 15.
Yeah. Which would make sense based on the difference in cost between buying it now versus maybe buying it later. But if you haven't gotten through the main, it doesn't hurt buying it now, just buying the base game and then going buying the DLC later as you're ready for it.
Exactly. Because this is definitely like a, not having PS5 yet, it's definitely, but I've watched a playthrough of the DLC. It's definitely a case of you want to finish the main game before even trying to see what the DLC is all about.
Yeah. I would agree. So what do you think? Are you ready to tackle this girthy twab?
Girthy. Let's fumble our way through this.
We could always do a Guardian Down. We'll get to the twab right after this.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
And hello, Ninja. Thank you for joining us during our live chat.
Gee. Hello, Muffin Ma'am. So yeah, this is a hefty twab. I'm going to pause awkwardly because I was rating and didn't read it.
Well, while you do that, since it's perfect timing, because then I can call out Muffin since she's in her live chat. She totally pulled a Kingsley move and invited me multiple times last night prior to the raid. And I was trying to join the voice chat as the game was loading. And every time I would go to hit the PlayStation button, it kept trying to click and join in on the invite. And I'm like, stop, I can't join the voice. So not only did the Sin Bash sounds like a rapper.
Right.
That went in from the weekend into last night as well.
Nice. Yeah. So a lot of stuff in this TWAB, because they're talking abilities. I mean, that's like the meat of the TWAB for sure. And my God, you're just scrolling for absolute days when going through this. But starting, of course, at the top, they are apparently separating melees.
Yes.
There will be different buttons, or let's say it this way, because it's slightly easier to understand. There will be the capability of mapping your two different melees, and by two different melees, of course, you have two different melees. You have your big, powerful melee effect, which for hunters, it's potentially a throwing knife. For warlocks, it's a slightly better slappy hand. For titans, it's a more punchy fist. Things for everyone. And of course, your normal melee is when you melee things, you know, when your melee's on cooldown. It's just your normal punch. So, they're creating like an...
I was going to say the TLDR there is they do differentiate the charge versus uncharged. And indeed. that's how you'll map it, which will not be enabled by default.
Indeed. Because currently the way the system works now will be known as the auto melee, which is context sensitive, which means you push the button. For a hunter, if you're far enough away, you're going to throw a knife. If you're not, unless they fix that, I don't know. But either way, and if you're not far enough away, you're just going to punch them.
Basically, now you can be in their face and knife them.
So, yeah. It'll be very interesting because, again, there's not going to be much change if you just stick with the auto melee, but you do have the capability of mapping an uncharged button and a charged button, which if you the uncharged button will trigger your normal melee normal melee lunge, regardless of whether you have a melee charge or not. It will just use the normal melee. And then, of course, your charged button will trigger your actual melee ability as long as the charge is up. So, very cool idea, I think. Going to be a real pain for console people because we're running out of buttons as is.
Now, they did give an example in there about separating them out. They use the example of using R3, so basically the finisher button, as the charged melee. Basically, by doing so, and I remember reading this through, I'm not going through it right now because I read it a little bit earlier, but the logic behind it is if the ability to finish them is up, that will take priority. But if it's not, it'll use the charge melee if it's up. So that'll give you the option without having to maybe map two buttons at once to do it. You can map that R3 button and use a dual purpose for both finisher and charged melee.
Indeed. Like I said, nifty things. Nothing too exactly game-breaking here. Unless it literally breaks the game. Which, who knows? Oh my god, cats. Anyway. I don't know what it is about this time of night, but they just go nuts.
No worries. That actually gives me a reason to look for cat pics in the TWAP now. Thanks.
You're welcome. Another thing that they're modifying, tweaking with Stasis, they will allow you the capability to initiate breakout while airborne, which is nice.
Yes.
They are shortening the breakout animation and the camera transition, so quicker breakouts, or at least less time vulnerable as you're breaking out, which is, again, better all around. They're going to visually differentiate long and short freezes, so that way you can know. Because as it works right now, supposedly we just breakout.
Right.
Like short freezes just don't last long enough for the full breakout animation. And then long freezes, you actually have to break out.
Right.
If you choose. Unless I'm not remembering right, but I'm pretty sure I am. But that's that really. I mean, just some nice quality of life changes, I feel, on that one. Not being able to break out while airborne just seems silly to me. Right. So that's nice.
Yeah, I think it just adds an additional layer of timing to that, that gives somebody using Stasis as an advantage, and now it'll actually, probably make the playing field a little bit more level, a little bit less frustrating. Oh, yeah. Still frustrating, sure. But less frustrating.
They're changing slide. And not really changing slide, as in they're changing the way in which guns, I'm assuming, I mean, they say here it's because of shotguns, but I'm assuming a lot of these changes are working for all guns. But anywho, and the changes they're making is while sliding, players now incur the following weapon penalties. You are going to get minus 20 to stability. Ouch.
Yes.
Plus 15% shotgun pellet spread. Ouch. And 1.5 times more flinch. Yay. That's
I don't know how much that'll affect PC players that are good and quick on the draw with a mouse anyway. But for console players, it sounds to me like it'll put a little more... It should make the players think a little bit more who like to do that slide shotgunning. And it is super frustrating. I'm not very good at it, but it's super frustrating going against it. And it almost kind of reminds me, or makes me think of the way Destiny 2 was year one, going into it, where there was a lot of distance team shooting. I think it almost seems like it may shift back to that with that penalty there, because it'll give less incentive to do the slide shotgunning. And probably, to me, it makes it sound like it'll slow down the game a little bit more.
It won't be that bad.
Until it's alive, yeah, it may not be.
Yeah. But no, like minus 20 stability, that's definitely all. Because of the changes they made before to mouse and keyboard stability, bringing it a little closer, it's definitely going to be felt on mouse and keyboard, definitely not as drastically. But that 15% shotgun pellet spread, that's going to be massive. They are going to basically have to be practically in your belly to really secure those kills. So that's the big part of that. But no, I don't think it's going to be that drastic to entirely shift the meta. And even if it does, yes, people will definitely complain about distance team shooting, because everyone complained about distance team shooting in D2 Vanilla.
Right.
Everyone. I didn't care. But that's me. I'm crazy. So.
I don't mind it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
Anyhow. You still get team shot now anyway. You just don't, it's not as noticeable as it was year one.
I mean, well, in year one, it was basically the best way to secure a kill. So that's what people did, but now it's not the best way, or it's not the only way rather. So right. With so much more variety, and like people say, a lot of these maps do favor close quarters combats. So, I mean, it's being a little harsh on shotguns may not be the worst thing ever. Trust me, you'll live.
Maybe.
So, right? And then they start breaking down a lot. We're in for the long haul now, boys. We'll start it off with Titans, because that's where Bungie starts with. So, Rally Barricade.
I'm all in here.
Yeah, Rally Barricade. Like Bungie says, people don't use it a lot, even though it actually makes you reload super fast, just by default, because that's the thing it does. Even though I'm one to say use it quite often, Sid. I want to say whenever I play with you, you tend to drop a rally somewhere for something.
Yeah, it does help with reload. You have some weapons that are super slow, especially if you're using, I'm going to have another brain malfunction on one that takes super slow, so I might as well just look it up here.
Xenophage.
Yes, sounds that's the one, actually.
Nice.
Xenophage. So using the Rally Barricade along with a reload mod significantly improves the reload speed and getting more damage out in a shorter period of time, which obviously if you're doing boss damage is super helpful. So when you don't have the need to do the large barricade, like if you're going to have wells or whatnot, or you're just not doing a super sweaty encounter where you're going to need the cover, it is super helpful for reload, 100%.
Indeed. And that's not going away. Bungie does specify that the reload buffs are staying, but they're adding more to Rally Barricade. While standing behind it... which I'm not sure if that exactly means behind it, because you're supposed to get the extra reload while standing behind it, but you just really have to be around it. You'll be getting plus 30 stability on a weapon, plus 10% range, and minus 50% flinch. Jesus, that's a lot.
That's huge. And the flinch aspect and range aspect would be, I would say, a little bit more helpful during PvP encounters. Probably more so than PvE, because there are times where I've popped that in PvP, and it doesn't really give you an advantage other than you're forcing somebody to headshot you.
Yeah.
And somebody who's good enough is going to headshot you. Now it gives you a little more of an advantage.
Yeah, I mean, 10% range, like minus 50%. I wouldn't be surprised if there are, in fact, like, I'm going to say, like, from lower mid skill down, like snipers start using Rally Barricade a lot more because of this. Because, I mean, that's freaking huge.
There also be hand cannons too benefiting from this.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Actually, yeah. Yeah, especially with that stability, because the stability helps the quote-unquote weapon bloom. So but basically it helps affect your accuracy cone. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot that can actually benefit from this. I was just thinking snipers because of the reduction of flinch. But of course, not that it always matters. But they're also tweaking, apparently, all barricades, a little bit, at least. Players moving at high velocity will take more damage when moving through hostile Titan barricades. I wonder what they mean at high velocity. Like full sprint or faster? I mean, I guess we'll find out. But
yeah, I'm not really sure what they mean by that either. I mean, it definitely seems like a full speed sprint, like curling around, maybe even jump gliding a little bit for a little additional boost. You know, you have a couple different scenarios there that helps with speed. So
yeah, 100%. And also, crap, blah, brain fart there. Barricades will actually protrude into the ground to better protect the Titan's feet on uneven ground, which that's another nice little quality of life shift.
Absolutely, especially during the when you have the big barricades on, especially in like GMs, and you where the enemy weapons are super sticky and they'll crush in an instant. It's going to be helpful for that, and it'll give you a little bit more protection.
Indeed. Let's see here. Behemoth Stasis Titans. They're modifying Cryoclasm, which is your super slide. They're making some modifications because they did notice that some changes they made to Stasis definitely did negatively impact PvE. So that's kind of like their focal point, I'm supposing, for a lot of these changes. So Cryoclasm, while equipped, wow. Anywho, while equipped, the base slide will now shatter crystals and frozen enemies. So you don't actually absolutely need to have that running start to get the super slide. While it's equipped, any and all slides will shatter crystals, which is very nice. And they will be increasing the duration of screen effects, notifying players that Cryoclasm long slide is ready from 1 to around 4.5 seconds. Right. Shiver Strike Melee. They're increasing movement speed by 25%, which is pretty massive. And Whisper of Rhyme, they're fixing a bug where the overshield provided by Whisper of Rhyme was not scaling precision damage correctly. No idea what that means.
Just a bug fix.
I know, right? Let's see here. Middle Tree Sunbreaker, the big hammer. Oh, God. That's going to be... That's going to have to be a shout-out to the Muffin Man there. The big hammer. inside joke. Anyway, so throwing hammer. They are increasing the time before the hammer explodes after hitting the ground from 6.5 to 10 seconds, which it's always nice because if you can pick up the hammer, you don't use a melee charge. So the more time you have,
the
better you just... Yeah, the more free melees.
Yeah.
And they're increasing damage versus powerful PvE combatants by around 50%. that's probably going to be really nice, to be honest. Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of the exotic, but there is a there's an exotic that you can pair with that, the Throne Hammer, that made it super powerful in PvP. And I'm wondering if that might be a little more effective now in PvE.
That might be those arms that power melees. Mm-hmm. Like, yep. Getting melee kills makes the melee stronger.
Yep. That's the one. Yeah.
I can't bail you out of this one because I can't even remember the name of those things.
I was going to say Titan's Ramparts, but that's not it. That's the one for the... and I should know this because I'm a Titan.
Something, I think it's like an embrace. I think it's like an embrace, I think.
It's called Ashen Wake.
Oh, no, Ashen Wake, that's a...
Fusion grenades now explode on impact. Final blows with fusion grenades gain energy. I think that's the one, because you use the hammer and it empowered the Ashen Wake.
Oh, no, I know what you're thinking of. No, that's not the arm. That's the crap. I think that's a chess piece. Because, yeah, it's like you use one ability, but it empowers, charges like your other abilities. Like,
Yeah, that is Ashen Wake arms. That's the one that does that. That's the fusion grenade one. That's the one I'm thinking of, I believe. The one that gives you, that was super strong in PvP if you used it correctly.
Potentially. Anywho, moving along. Top and bottom tree strikers. So, not Thundercrash. they're increasing the slam detonation radius of Fist of Havoc by 14%. Why? The thing is already massive. they're reducing slam damage falloff, and they are reducing slam attack activation cost from 21% of your super to 18%. Why? It didn't feel awful.
Lack of use. You can blame everybody for using middle tree.
I mean, that's kind of fair. Oh, and talking about middle tree strikers, coming up next. Inertia Override. They are increasing that duration. From 4 seconds to 6 seconds, and sliding over an ammo brick now grants 20% extra melee energy. Yay!
Interesting.
I know, that's... Whew. Top tree sentinel. That's Bubble, right?
Bubble Titan.
Yes. And because Ward of Dawn is getting some changes. They're increased damage taken from bosses. Hang on. Ward of Dawn's getting a nerf, everybody. So they are actually increasing damage taken from bosses from 0.25 times to 7 times. So, yeah.
Which is interesting. And yeah. I'll tell you why. You haven't gotten to this point of the TWAB yet. But this isn't the only protective class that's going to be getting a little bit of change. Oh, yes.
Oh, God, no. Suddenly I feel very, very awful for Lumina. Oh, no. Damage taken can scale down 2.25% based on the owner's resilience stat. So, yeah. So your bubble is now affected by your resilience?
Yep, by the which honestly is not a big deal, because I've spec'd for high resilience, high recovery anyway, and depending on which armor set or armor piece that I swap into, I'm between 90 and 99 for that. So yeah. I mean, you're going to max the effectiveness of it regardless if you're spec'd right.
Okay, yes, because that's exactly what they say at the bottom of this paragraph here. They want Protector Titans to be a conscious choice. So yeah, they want you to, if you want to be a Bubble Titan, they want you to build to be a Bubble Titan. So yeah, if you're rocking low resilience, you're not going to cut it.
Right. It's like, basically, why are you even here?
Exactly. So that's fair. That's fair then. because yeah, Ward of Dawn is basically, I mean, like they say, it's a no-brainer, like, to use in many situations because it's extraordinarily helpful. It's extraordinarily defensive. But yeah, having, oh god, and that's going to make Ward of Dawn, inadvertently, that's going to make Ward of Dawn less effective in PvP. Because yes, there aren't many people, at least as far as I know, especially in the higher levels of play, people don't play, don't rock more than maybe 5 resilience at a time, at any given time, because 5 resilience is kind of that sweet spot for a lot of weapons. So yeah, depending upon how effective that bubble is going to be at 5, I mean, it might be way easier to fight against bubbles in PvP, which is going to be very nice. Because that can get a bit annoying.
So it's kind of an interesting choice, to say the least, for the bubble. And in fact, I mean, over most recent history, bubble hasn't been much of a choice in, you know, PvE content, in-game content, raids. You know, I don't know about the master, because I'm not lucky enough to have completed a master myself to see how the mechanics go or see if there is a need there. But for the most part, for GM activities, you're not using bubbles. You're using the combination of, I'll tell you here real quick, the Ursa Furiosas. That way you can use the middle tree and use the Sentinel Shield out of front while you can still damage the PvE combatants. So it's kind of an interesting choice that they went down this path. Just with that simple fact, the Ursa builds have been more dominant in that in-game activity, such as the GMs.
Yeah, but then again, like, Ursa does require a build, though. You are sacrificing an exotic slot to get that effectiveness, which is probably why they haven't quite touched it, and that's basically higher tier PvE content. That's a select few people. I mean, probably not a super select, but definitely not like general population. Whereas bubble is definitely like raids, higher difficulty nightfalls, perhaps. But yeah, basically it's more of a prevalent thing in mid tier activities, which, like I said, for raids, it will, like I said, I do feel it's nice that you do kind of have to build for it. And like I said, if these, depending upon how these changes affect PvP, that could also be a high benefit there as well. Oh god. Next up, the Hunter. What am I gonna have to rate? Excuse me? Okay, so I guess the benefit of not reading the swab is you get first-time reactions when I'm reading a sentence. Why this, though? So, Revenants, Stasis Hunter. Because, you know, Stasis Hunters needed this. They are increasing the movement speed of the Hunter Stasis Super's Tornado by 20%. What?
Now, it's interesting with this move. If I remember, later on in the TWAB, we're going to go over a couple things that the Stasis, this Revenant, will affect. And it's in regard to bosses and other supers. So it's just it's just kind of interesting, this increase with those effective changes coming as well.
Indeed, because this next line I do also like a lot for PvE. That Squall Storm will now stop when it touches a boss. Oh, thank you, my god! Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely a crowd control super. It doesn't do a lot of damage to bosses, but the only awful thing is, like, you're down to like a couple of adds and the boss, and you toss the super on the boss, and it just wanders off to this one little add like 50 yards away from the boss, and then tries to come back, and then just peters out, and it's like, well, that was wasted. So yeah, the fact that it will stop on a boss is fantastic. And oh my god, how did I know this was coming? Withering Blade. They are increasing the projectile speed and tracking by 10%. Not massive, but they about... This is definitely one of those PvP tunings that ruined PvE. Because Withering Blade, after that last hit, has been downright awful to use in PvE. I mean, I understood it from a PvP perspective, but... So yeah, I mean, I'm never going to
So does this mean I need to get that that exotic that pairs with the super? I don't play pairs with the super? Isn't there like a legs that pairs with this?
I don't think so. If there is I'm drastically...
What is that exotic piece that hunters use that you get from Lost Sectors that everybody was going after?
Oh, no, that's Star Eater Scales. That increases, depending upon how many orbs you eat, your super gains more damage, which, to be fair, yeah, this could... I mean, it helps all supers except for Tether. So, yeah, this could actually potentially... Ow! Like, that freaking cat! Yeah, starter skills could actually, like, with this change, be fairly useful with stasis, potentially. I mean, I don't really want to say that, because I don't really want to propagate attempting to use stasis for boss damage. Nope. No. If you're going to do boss damage, like, if that's your intent and purpose as a hunter, gunslinger. Just stay as a gunslinger. Don't... Nothing else. Except for maybe Tether. I mean, Tether's good too. And speaking of gunslingers, though, Middle Tree Gunslinger, a.k.a. Hot Knives. So, yes. Oh my god, cats. Knife Trick, which is, of course, the melee. They are increasing the burning duration from 3 seconds to 4 seconds.
Which not a big change, but a little.
No, it's not a big change, but it will help because Knife Trick does have a... The fact that they're changing the burn duration, because Knife Trick... It's not even really Knife Trick, per se, but there's another perk that if you kill an enemy that's burning, then it triggers Playing with Fire, and Playing with Fire increases your melee regen. So the fact that they're increasing the burning of Knife Trick will just make it easier to get Playing with Fire stacks. So a little easier to get your super fast melee, which at Playing with Fire times 3, it is very fast. So, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, wait, no. That's... Okay, cool. Never mind. Top Tree Gunslinger. I thought I was in trouble. But no, Top Tree Gunslinger. The six shooter super, which is the crowd control super. Damage fall off will start at 25 meters instead of 20 meters. Cool. Anyway, moving on. Arcstrider. Let's see what they're going to try and do with Arcstrider, because this... Right, so Arcstaff, they're extending the passive super duration from 16 seconds to 20 seconds, so you're going to have 4 more seconds of something. They're increasing the Heavy Slam detonation radius from 5 to 6 meters. Ooh, increased damage versus PvE combatants by 33%. Oh my.
Yeah, that is definitely a huge uptick in that.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if it'll make it more viable for higher end activities.
Yes, it will.
I mean, you would know better because you play it, but
probably not. To be honest, let's be honest here. Probably not. Maybe not.
You know a little.
Somebody else could probably correct me here, but I don't see it becoming super, super viable. maybe. It's still going to need, I feel it's still going to probably need Raiden Flux in high end, which, I mean, to be fair, if you're running Arc Strider, you might as well be running Raiden Flux anyway, which is the one where hitting enemies with your Arc Staff extends the duration of your Arc Staff. So, yeah, it's very nice. So that's actually, yeah, that's not bad. Like, and 33% is great. I cannot wait to see the damage numbers on that and see how that turns out and how that adds up. Top Tree Arc Strider. Deadly Reach. They're increasing the duration from 8 seconds to 10 seconds. Cool. Middle Tree Arc Strider. Lightning Weave. I don't play Arc Strider that much. I don't really know what Lightning Weave even is. But or is that the one that like arcs out? Or whatever. I'm probably confusing Arc Warlock, to be honest. But anywho. Yeah, dealing damage with right? Dealing damage with Tempest Strike now triggers Lightning Wave. Well, whatever Lightning Wave is, the melee will be able to trigger it. And the timer can now be extended by dealing damage with any weapon. Whatever that means. Okay, cool. Middle Tree Night Stalker. Blade Dancer 2.0.
That's a good way to put it.
I mean, it effectively is. It's just faster. It's old Blade Dancer on crack, basically. yes, they are reducing the damage reduction of the super from 52% to 47%. That's about 5%.
Yeah, 5%.
Exactly 5%. I can do math. That's not bad. That's not bad. I'm okay with that for sure. And they are reducing the additional damage reduction while invisible from 5 to 3%. So while you're invisible, you'll have 50% damage reduction, which now I understand the 47%. And then if you're not invisible, you get 47% damage reduction. Oh no. Warlock.
Here it comes.
Anywho, Shadebinder, Winter's Wrath, reduced Shatter Pulse damage versus close range supers. Warlock must now freeze and shatter twice to defeat players in burn. Oh! Glacial Quake still only requires one shatter to defeat. Okay, I get that now. Okay, so for roaming super, yes, for roaming supers, other than freaking Golden Gun, because Golden Gun has no damage reduction, Warlock will have, yeah, you'll actually have to like freeze them and shatter. You'll have to do the loop twice to kill them. I am 100% behind this change. That was a little dumb IMO. Okay. And starts. Top Tree Dawn Blade. Straight up dominant in PvP. Sure. Celestial Fire. They are reducing the tracking cone angle. Arming shape now shrinks over time. Proximity detonation. I don't think I'm cognitive enough right now to understand what that sentence means. Somebody can explain that to me later. Because
it's basically saying it just needs, you know, you're going to need a little more accuracy. You're going to have to be super on point to make it work.
Okay, so, all right, I think my brain's catching up. So, yeah, the further it goes, the closer it has to be to detonate, is what I'm gathering here.
Yes.
I could be wrong. And they're reducing detonation size by 1 meter. Nice. Damage falloff increased at short distances. Damage fall with increases. Alright, that's interesting. Oh god. Icarus Dash. They're doing it.
Yeah, this is the huge one, especially for Warlock players during PvP. That light 2 dash around the screen like fools.
Yes, and I've personally, like, whenever I do venture into PvP, I've been seeing Icarus Dashers a lot, like, in the uptick here recently.
And that's because it does provide a huge advantage.
Yes.
Somebody who can dash out into view and dash back out with, I would say, a huge success rate of peeking on a team up top where they're not looking and make it back without getting one-shot sniped or, you know, picked off by a team. Because I would say for the majority, unless you're probably top tier, you know, you're probably not always going to be looking up. You're going to be aiming down sights, and you're probably going to be aiming down sights a little bit more than somebody who could probably no-scope the crap out of you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I almost feel like anybody that mained Twilight Garrison and D1 swapped to Icarus Dash because same thing. Yes, massive change, because normally you could do two Icarus Dashes before triggering a cooldown of about 5 seconds, I think, or 6 seconds, five, four, somewhere in there. But now, oh God, this is actually pretty massive. Because like you said, you could, right now you can dash towards someone, you can dash back away, back into cover, and it's hugely advantageous for peeking. But it will now provide one air dodge every 4 seconds.
Yes.
One. Ouch. There's going to be a lot of people mad at that one.
I mean, it does make the choice a little more meaningful at that point.
It does. I mean, like I said, you can't get away with shenanigans with that. Like, you can't poke out and then poke right back into cover. I mean, you can floof out and then zip back into cover. But yeah, you definitely have to be way more mindful of how you use Icarus Dash. Me, I'm behind this change 100%. I can only imagine the rage that's over Twitter right now. Or that place, Reddit. There we go. That place.
That place.
But also, while under the effect of Heat Rises, basically it sounds like it's going back to what it normally is and increased to two dodges every 5 seconds. And Heat Rises is also being changed. That's the melee. Yeah, because if you kill something... No. Heat Rises is where you eat a grenade and get the buff, right? For Top Tree Dawnblade?
I believe so. I'm not a Top Tree Dawnblade person. Not very familiar with all of it.
Right. But I think that's that. In which case, this is interesting, because Heat Rises is being increased from 10 seconds to 15 seconds. And increase the time extension awarded for air kills while Heat Rises is active. The extension duration differs based on the type of enemy killed. Your location now appears on enemy radar when using Heat Rises. So, basically, savvy players may not be able to do anything about it, but at the very least, they could potentially see you coming.
Right.
So,
which
yeah,
I think is a nice change.
Yeah, I mean, it's give and take, right? I mean, yeah, you're... So you have 15 seconds. So that's three double dodges, like back-to-back. Two realistically for hectic combat. But anyway, either way, you get a double dodge. But in order to use that double dodge, you're on radar. And yeah, that can be like pretty massive. Oh, Christ. I'm sorry, Lumina, in advance. I don't know what this means. But oh my God. Middle Tree Dawnblade. The Well.
Yes, this one is definitely the interesting one. And this is kind of where I alluded to earlier.
Yeah. You see, the only bad thing is I'm actually really going to have to eat my words now. Before Lumina gets a chance to say anything, it appears I was wrong. Because I... he normally frets over them changing or doing anything to Middle Tree Dawnblade. And in an attempt to reassure him, I've always mentioned, like, they're not going to touch well. It's just, you know, it's just there. It's a thing. People use it, right? They're not going to touch, like, something that's only supremely viable in PvE. Well, let's see how they're changing something that's supremely viable in PvE, shall we? Oh, this is bad. Increased damage taken from... Okay, that's actually not super bad.
So, okay. Did you see the note about the stasis?
Not yet. Hang on.
It's just above the increased damage part in that paragraph. That's where I was talking about with the stasis maneuver in the Revenant super. How this could certainly affect this.
Well, that's interesting.
That is a very, very interesting change.
Yeah. Additionally, I would like to make Well of Radiance more effective in the Crucible. You will have more survivability while in the well, and you won't be able to be frozen or slowed by stasis users. That's like that Titan exotic that they made, like, to anti-stasis. So, well, they gave well PvP viability, and then they nerfed it in PvE. Great. Yes. But, okay. But
there's
but
more. There's more.
But wait, there's more. So, yeah, Well of Radiance, they are indeed increasing the damage taken from bosses, but it's not as bad of a scaling as Word of Dawn. That's only going up to 1.25, which is at zero. You're taking 1.5 rather than 0.25. So it's not that harsh.
Did you mention about the sword can be frozen?
I'll get there.
Nope, it's just above the
I'm sure. Oh, actually, they don't mention that.
Yep, yeah, it's...
the bullet points. Yes.
No, they don't. So,
I just noticed that.
But wait, there's even more.
Yes. Yeah, there's even more in PvP. Sword can be frozen and shattered, but it will take multiple freezes and shatters before being destroyed. How many? They don't say. If it's less than 3, actually, to be fair, for well, I would say if it's less than 2, it needs to be 2. Why would they say multiple? Why not just say 2?
Yeah, 2 is still multiple, but it could vary 2 to 3 depending on the scenario. And
because here's the thing, if it takes 2, you might luckily get, like, kill a well off. Like, if you actually have 1 or 2, like, 2 people in there and coming at it with stasis, you might be able to destroy a well every now and again, potentially. Unless I'm giving, like, way too much credit to individual players and situations. But if it requires 3, I don't see you shattering a well with stasis, personally. Again, someone can...
This is where I think super change might be viable in this scenario.
Well, that depends on if they would consider the well. Well, yeah, speed perhaps, but I wonder if.
I mean, the reality is you're going to have multiple people inside the well at any given time. So, granted, they may not get frozen, but if the super stays on them for a given period of time, it could potentially cause a multiple freeze effect and help remove it.
I mean, that's true, but it would also depend basically on if the sword itself could be considered a boss or if players could be considered a boss in PvP. We would have to see how that dynamic, if it would even work like that in PvP. Because if that sticking power does work in PvP for Revenant, then yeah, that could be like super strong against a well. But that would require that to work in PvP, which again, we'll have to either see or hear about it. Either way, that's going to be later when we see that. So now, damage, they're increasing it.
Yeah.
1.5 times. Yeah, 1.5 times at 0 resilience. I just think it really sucks that they're basing this off resilience for a warlock. Warlocks have like no reason to really go into resilience, and like why not make it that other one, recovery, you know? But anyhow, Damage can stay up.
Yeah, those are really the only two viable. I mean, to me, running Titan, you know, recovery and resilience are really the only two viable stats. So, and I could definitely, you know, see the resilience aspect because that's what that's for. It's a protective class just like Bubble, so it makes sense.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like I said, I guess I would just kind of hope to make it a little easier. I don't know. I guess, like, yeah, that's true. That's true. Because if the whole idea is to make it a meaningful choice, then making resilience matters. Definitely that meaningful choice. Oof. But you can get back down to the 0.25, just like Bubble. You just have to spec an unknown amount of resilience into it. Increased damage resistance buff versus enemy players from 20 to 40%. So wait a minute.
That's going to be a more PvP gambit style. Yeah,
for sure.
It's definitely going to give you that advantage. You know, invaders against, you know, PvP or invaders and gambit or PvP. If, you know, you're at a point or you're trying to cap a point, you know, it's going to make it definitely a viable option. You'll be able to protect the point a little more so with that damage buff and have a little bit more of an advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's really weird. Like, again, they're buffing it in PvP and then kind of nerfing it in PvE. Because unlike the bubble change, this won't matter. Like, they're intentionally attempting to make it stronger in PvP by giving you extra damage resistance and 20% extra damage resistance for standing in a well. Like, what the crap?
Yeah, and I don't know if maybe it's going along with a theme of the, and we haven't discussed it yet, but the Twitter post about, you know, PvP in the upcoming seasons. You know, I don't know if maybe this is their kind of effort to make more focus on PvP. And this is just going to be the side effect of it, a little bit of a hit in PvE.
I guess. This is very interesting, though. And yes, players inside of well radiance are now immune to stasis, freeze, and slow, and well sword can be frozen and shattered by stasis. Guiding Flame, which I believe is the one where if middle tree melees, nearby allies get a buff, in which case they are increasing the duration from 7 to 10 seconds, and they are increasing the buff from 20 to 25%, which is always nice in, like, mob-ridden areas. So that's going to be nice. Again, I'm sorry, Lumina.
Rip.
Sort of. But again, like they said, it's definitely going to make, like, Bubble and Well conscious choices. You can't be, oh, I only run my Warlock so many times, I'll be Well type deal. You're actually going to have to kind of spec for it, which on one hand, I don't mind. But on the other hand, crap, no more casual, like, Bubbles and Wells.
Right. It's not bad. It's going to create the need for, you know, then what comes to mind, you know, forward thinking, what about the material economy? If you're going to need to have multiple masterwork sets to be able to swap on the fly based on your build.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
A little bit more difficult doing that than just switching a few mods around per encounter. Which is currently what I do. I spend the 500 glimmer and switch the mods out as I switch weapons.
So yeah, moving right down along to Bottom Tree Dawnblade, which I do believe is the one that tracks, that's definitely the one that tracks. Phoenix Dive. They're reducing the delay before the dive starts, and you can now input a direction to dive in that direction. That's nifty. Igniting Touch will have an entire ability rework. I have no idea what it does now, so But it will become solar ability kills, and kills on burning targets now cause targets to explode and burn other nearby enemies, who will also explode if they die while burning. So they're making Tiku's Divination Warlock Melee? I mean, essentially. I mean, that's what this sounds like to me.
Very much like.
Right? So that's going to be interesting to go through. Middle Tree Stormcaller. Chaos Reach. Oh no. So, they're increasing the beam environment collision size to better match collision size with damage size. You know what? Oh, which means that won't be able to kill you through walls anymore. They're actually fixing that.
If that's what that means, then that sounds like a positive change.
Yeah. I mean, because if the environment because the keyword there, I mean, the environment collision, I mean, it just kind of like snapped something into place for me hearing it like that. Because, again, as people know, there are certain areas where Chaos Reach can either reach you around corners or kind of go through walls. Which, yeah, if the collision of the beam, if the damage size, or for those into fighting games or FPS like Deep Mechanics, basically the hitbox of the beam itself is overextending beyond the collision size, then that would result in that, at least in my mind, that's how I'm thinking. So effectively, if they rein in that hitbox to match the collision size or vice versa, either way, as long as everything matches up, you should be able to take cover more effectively against this super, is what I'm gathering out of this. So that's nice. Oh my god, and they're reducing the beam damage radius by 20% in PvP. Thank you.
So, fixing it, basically. I like to call it fixing it, since I'm not a warlock main.
Reduce beam endpoint sphere radius in PvP by 33%. Yeah, it sounds like they're really making it to where Chaos Reach can't get stupid kills in PvP anymore. I love that.
Which would be good. I mean, I've definitely experienced that on my end as a Titan, where you feel like you're around cover, and you get killed by Chaos Reach.
Exactly. Bottom Tree Stormcaller, a.k.a. the Arc Buddy Tree.
They're a nice way to put it.
I mean, yeah. So for Arc Souls, they are increasing the duration from 12 to 13 seconds. Cool. But they are increasing the fire rate of Arc Buddies by 10%. Should be pretty nifty. Extra damage is extra damage, after all. Electrostatic Surge, whatever that is, now increases sprint speed when allies are near. Cool. Wait, what? Landfall now has 5 arc ground projectiles on cast?
Yeah, that was an interesting note.
What the frick are you even... Oh.
It kind of, some of these choices that they come up with are interesting, and it almost makes you want to go just try them all and like see what they're really made of.
So yeah, so they make, okay. So reading the paragraph, Landfall felt a little underwhelming. Have you played Landfall? So it will now fire 5 arc projectiles along the ground in all directions. Cast your super in the middle of a room to electrocute everything around you. So I guess the good news in PvP is that you won't have to floof directly over your enemies to kill them with landfall. You can just kind of be in their general vicinity.
Right. And it sounds like if you're like in middle and in trouble and you have that super available, it could be almost like a, it could save you, basically. especially if you're surrounded like that and it's going to go out and spread in all directions.
Exactly. All right. I mean, they say all directions, but it sounds like five directions to be exact. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I have a feeling that's going to be annoying in PvP.
It could very well be.
Yeah,
I don't know if was their main motivator for changing it, but I mean, that could you get one of those on a point where you got a whole team and you release landfall and you got little tracking arc beams around everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a cool idea, and it's probably going to really increase its viability in PvE. From the sounds of it, it's definitely at least going to increase its viability in PvP, like it needed it. So, Middle Tree Voidwalker. Here we go. The Nova Warp. They're increasing the damage versus PvE combatants by 73%. Christ.
Kind of like what they... It's almost a similar... I would say similar. The numbers aren't exact. But a similar increase like they did with the Arc Staff, that roaming super
For Hunters. That's like 20 or 30.
33%, right?
Arc Staff, 33%. 73%. That's... I mean, you're borderline doubling it. Which, I mean, to be fair, this is also PvE, right? So,
right.
To be fair, it probably needed it in PvE, because I've never seen anyone really use this in PvE for good reason, because, Nova Bomb. Here's a scary thing. No longer slows movement speed while charging / charged. I mean, it's hard enough to escape in PvP as is. So you're taking away their reduction, and it will now detonate on cast, which means it will be kind of like Fist of Havoc, basically.
Right.
Like, on cast, you're going to get an initial burst, an initial detonation to take care of anything around you, and then you can roam out and kill, which in PvE will make it, or PvP will make it a better panic super with roaming capabilities. Warlocks, you get to see what Titans do, essentially.
You're now a floofy-ass Titan.
Right? Handheld Supernova. They're increasing damage versus PvE combatants by 100%, so they're just flat-out literally doubling this damage in PvE. And they're increasing the hold time from 2.5 to 3.2 seconds. Oh my god, that's it.
I mean, we weren't joking when we said this thing was quite girthy. I mean, they touched on every single, I mean, for the most part, it feels like every single super, right?
So, the only thing that didn't get any change or mention that I can think of are the tethers and bottom tree solar for Hunter. Most of everything else got represented or tweaked here. So that's pretty massive.
I mean, that's a lot coming up, right? And it's not even, we're not even talking about a beginning of the year tuning pass. This is like end of year stuff, and maybe they're preparing for the next phase, which will be, Witch Queen in all this. Yeah. But I would say, I mean, I think some of them are going to be positive. I'm just kind of super curious to see how this is going to affect PvE as a whole, maybe PvP as a whole, and see where it really leaves the landscape.
Indeed. And they do mention they have omitted some minor changes and bug fixes just to avoid bogging down the TWAB even more. So, holy balls, that's going to be very massive. So, interestingly enough, the very next thing is improving the powering up stasis experience. This is three paragraphs talking about something they're doing that, at least scanning through them, I can't tell. I think they're just condensing it into... I think they're just condensing the quest steps, I think. is what I'm gathering from my scanning here.
Yeah, I didn't really read too much into that. I got stuck on all the tuning passes.
Right. Okay, and they're doing a fundraiser as well. But yeah, that's what I'm gathering, is that they're condensing the Born in Darkness quest chain, is what I'm gathering here. So that's going to be pretty nifty for anyone that doesn't, that, you know, comes in late, which, I mean, there's definitely like a, basically like the season before, like an expansion drop can definitely draw in like some new players. So, you know, getting that ease of getting a new power in quickly, I mean, will benefit like greatly. So I think this is definitely like a good time to get that in there.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is good timing. You know, it's been feeling, you know, I'm sure everybody's kind of feeling that, you know, kind of burned out portion. I call it burned out, but, you know, lack of things to really get motivated and get in, except for, you know, you, if you like to go in and grind your bounties, Gator, or if you like to go in and do some ritual activities every week and you like to go raid every week, there's not a lot of draw there. There's no new material right now that we're, you know, that we got to really focus on. Which is kind of normal at the end of the season. You know, I get it. Well, it's always good to take a break and play other games and not burn yourself on the content up front. But with that being said, you know, I think what we see here is probably pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting to see how it comes out live. For sure.
Like I said, a lot of... at least initial thoughts on like a lot of these like ability tunings and stuff. A lot of it I can't agree with. There is a bunch of stuff that needed to be addressed that they are addressing. And to be honest, like I said, so far I'm kind of pro bubble and well changes, because I can get behind. And the only reason I'm pro for it is because I can see where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Like,
it's logical.
Making it exactly like wanting to make it a conscious decision for people to do these things. Like, you really have to, or to be effective at it, you basically have to dedicate yourself to it,
right?
Which, as any support player knows, is how you play support anyway. Which, those aren't the people that are basically going to be most affected by these changes. So I don't know. We'll see how it turns out and how drastic it is, and how punishing it is. Otherwise, yeah, I don't see a lot of, bad news here, except for the fact that they're increasing, stasis tornado speed, which I feel is a mistake. I'm a hunter main, and I will admit that.
You know, with the other changes, a lot. With the other changes, who knows? Maybe it'll fit in nicely in the gamut of changes that they're making. Really, the live test will prove its weight. Then.
Also, hilariously, this means hunters are the only class. After these changes go live, hunters will be the only class that have absolutely no defense against stasis. Titans have that exotic piece. And warlocks will have well. Hunters. Well, good luck.
Means fitting. Hunters are nimble little ninjas, so I mean, you gotta be vulnerable against something.
I can't wait to hear Gator rant about increased ice tornado speed himself.
He'll have a girthy rant for the girthy twab.
I know, right? Like, if you haven't heard Guardian Downcast before listening to this episode, stop. Go listen. I would actually love it if Gator gave a specific timestamp for said rant.
Right.
Because I know it's coming. I might actually message him about that. Like, at least to tease him. You going to add a timestamp to that rant? Because I would definitely want to jump right to it. Like I said, that's the only thing I don't agree with. And I'm that guy. I used Aces and PvP. I'm not ashamed. But yeah, that's gonna be rough. You're really not gonna be able to run away.
Use what you like. Don't apologize.
Which also, to be fair, at least also with increased movement speed, it will. Because I myself have definitely ignored a tornado.
Right. You can get away from them if you try. I mean, it's
exactly
the only deficit of running away from them is if you're just trying to get away from them. And you're not paying attention, you could inadvertently run into an enemy team or a couple members of an enemy team and not be prepared to do the engagement because you need to be in a safe spot where the tornado is not going to get you. So, yeah. I mean, there's a catch to it. And I think, you know, it kind of makes that decisioning. And when you're going to use it, definitely is meaningful. But also, if you're trying to get away from it, definitely a meaningful choice as well.
Exactly. Like, it will definitely serve that purpose now. Because, again, if as it is right now, if a hunter pops it, let's say 30 meters away from you, you can ignore it because it's not going to reach you in any amount of time to where you're going to be really stuck. So you have plenty of time to, like, at least poke at an enemy, make them have to make a decision of whether to engage or run, potentially complete that encounter, and still have enough time to get away from it. So, I mean, that's probably most likely their design thought there, but still, I don't know, 20%. That's, like, we're going to see how it goes once it hits live, but
we got a lot to look forward to.
Right, I've said it here. That's a bad one. Until we see it in PvP, though, I'll stand by those words. Of course, I mean, I'll probably still love using it because, of course, I'm still going to use it. But yeah, it's going to be a thing. Jesus, God, that was so much to go through.
So, live updates. Since we like to go through that, I did complete, while we were going through the TWAB, another 20-some percent on my Vex Catalyst.
Nice.
I did finish my final seasonal challenge, so I've 100% that. I happen to be looking at the store, and if you're out there and you have kids, there is an emote this week. It does unfortunately cost some silver. But it literally reminds me of Peppa Pig. It is jumping in muddy puddles. The exotic splash emote, or the splish splash emote.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. That's kind of interesting. I might kind of want to get it. And then just for my kids, because I think they'd get a kick out of it.
Yeah, that's...
Oh. And speaking of Guardian Downcast, we recorded last week our episode on Thursday, and I think is what, Friday? I jumped on with them, which that episode released this week, the week that we are recording, the week starting, what, the 2nd, 3rd of August. It was super fun getting to spend that time on them, so thank you again, Guardian Down, for having me on. Yeah. Always a good time over there.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think? Should we close this puppy down?
Oh, Christ, we haven't even touched on the Twitter crap, which
I know
was a whole nother beast. And if these TWABs continue, though, I can, at least as a TLDR,
maps,
was it Joe Blackburn,
right?
yeah, the returning messiah of Destiny, because hilariously, as he's returned, I feel like they've been starting to make a lot of really good changes overall in Destiny. I don't know if he spearheaded that or if it's just coincidental, or if they brought him back to spearhead this. So kind of a bit of both column A and column B. Either way, he's had a lot of great communication And he had an entirely long thing on Twitter, which Kingsley, I believe, posted in our Discord somewhere, which I'm sure he might actually still have access or find a way to access it quickly.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's maybe if they brought him on to spearhead it, or if it's maybe, you know, the other folks on the team are probably a little bit nervous posting in an open forum because they know what mobs can do, especially the Destiny mob.
For sure. And again, that's where good old Joe definitely also has experience. I mean, because he's done it before. He left for a little bit and now he's back again. I mean, you know. No, yeah, he posted an entirely long thing. I can't do it all justice unless we spend like another 30 minutes on it, which I refuse to do. But definitely go give it a read because it's insightful to their current thought patterns, at least concerning aspects of PvP. Yes, they are aware maps are not in rotation right now. You know, we have a lacking of them. He does go on at least to explain that they are making plans of introducing maps. I believe he mentioned 2 a year. I believe what he said.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact per and the time frame on it. But I think he did mention, he did go in a little bit as well as about unvaulting as, you know, and the reason why it's not as quickly as, you know, as easy as just putting the code in there. If we go back to Gator's, you know, new engine, when they updated the game backend, basically, and changed some of the coding, that's the reason why it was not an easy transfer. And some of those maps weren't as compatible from, if I remember reading it right.
Yeah, and it's the lighting also that they introduced in Beyond Light for Europa, that has, because it apparently has a different lighting engine or a different lighting capability. And they backtracked that to EDZ and somewhere else. I can't remember right now. But no, so like they have to make sure the lighting is compatible there. And like you said, all kinds of backend stuff potentially. But he has mentioned, like, I believe he gave an example of, like, essentially, like, when Witch Queen drops, they do plan on introducing a brand new Crucible map. The season after that, they will be unvaulting a Crucible map from Destiny 2 to be in the rotation. And then the season after that, they will be introducing a D1 Crucible map that has not seen D2 yet. And that's the example that he gave. So if that's it, then that would mean we get at least something new-ish every season.
Right.
Except for the last one. Yeah. Which is basically a 200% gain to what we have now. But yeah, I mean, he definitely goes on, like I say, he says a lot. He says, I believe he mentioned that they, or was that our speculation that they were, I think that was our speculation. They were working. I'm getting there. But, but basically our speculation that they were working on backend stuff more, like when Beyond Light hit, so they weren't really focused on, like, or maybe potentially not capable of focusing on, like, adding maps and adding to the cosmetic features of stuff like that, which, I mean, if you remember, they couldn't bring Cosmodrome to one-to-one parity. They had to abandon that project. So, I mean, a lot of that can line up. But anywho, and he also does mention that they are looking into bringing back Rift. They have internal testing teams. Looking into it to make sure that it's compatible with D2's style of movement. And if they can get, like, he does not confirm that it's coming. The only thing he confirms is the fact that they are looking at it. And they are looking to see if it's compatible and to see if they can do it. So that's all the news we have about that right now. And I am stoked for that because, well, he mentioned Rift. And the fact that they're at least looking at it.
So it sounds like Rift is coming back.
I mean, it's potential. Like, I'm definitely, like, keeping, like, I'm definitely reining myself in. I don't want to say Rift is coming. Because, again, they're looking at it. And they didn't give a hard confirmation, but they didn't deny it either.
Right.
So it's definitely an answer. Knowing that it's being looked at, I'm more patient for the answer of whether it's coming or not, you know? Like, they acknowledged it. They said they're looking at it. That's kind of good enough for me right now.
I'd almost like to think he wouldn't have mentioned it in an open forum like that if it wasn't a strong, strong possibility.
I mean, it's definitely a possibility. And yeah, him saying that and potentially leading to a no can be like a nuclear bomb in the community.
You told us it was coming. No, no, I didn't.
Exactly. Exactly. But like I said, me personally, if the answer is yes or no, I'm cool because there's no more mystery. That's it. Yeah, he basically demystified the entire subject of Rift. He acknowledged it. Right. So yeah, it only took 4 years, guys, and we at least made them mention it. Now let's see about SRL.
And then Gator's Destiny Online would have come to fruition.
But yeah, so like I said, definitely go and try and like find that thread. It is a huge thread, even for Twitter threads. My God, I think that was what, around 15 posts he chained back to back in that entire write-up?
At least. It was quite a few.
So, yeah, but it's a great read, and like I said, it is incredibly insightful, at least to their current thought patterns of how they're handling things. So, and it gives, like, it does, like, reading the entire thing gave me, like, some hope that, you know, things are going to be on the uptick for PvP. So, we'll see. I mean, the ball's in, as always, the ball's in their court, but, you know. At least now we know they're dribbling.
And we're just under 20 days until the next season starts as well. So, or no, is it just under 20 days to the, where they do
the reveal? Which is at the end of the season?
Yep. The 24th. They both coincide the same date.
Yep.
I don't remember that right offhand, but I remember 24th being a key date. So, yeah, I mean, we got just under 20 days, so.
So yeah, because this season will end, or the new season will begin the day of the reveal. They're treating this one like Arrivals. When we got the Beyond Light teases. And like information. They started that when Arrivals started. So this is much the same. We're going to get Witch Queen information at the start of the transitioning season into Witch Queen.
I'm just hoping they come out and say, you guys don't have to wait until the end of this year, next year, to get the new year of content. Maybe they'll come out and say, hey, we're ahead of schedule from what we initially thought we were going to be. Great news, you're going to have the content as planned in November.
Oh, it must be nice to be so optimistic.
I think that's more realistic expectation than a brand new engine, personally.
Probably. Like, as soon as I heard that this was still, like, they've of course made modifications to it over time, but finding out that at base, this is the exact same engine that made, like, Halo Reach. Yeah, they're probably sticking with this engine for a while longer. So yeah, that's a fair point. I'm just stoked to hear news and start what could potentially be a very long hype train to Witch Queen.
It'll be a long road ahead, depending on what the news, the reveal brings on the 24th.
Right.
Do shout out to Helios for being not on payroll. It's not a new engine. And also hashtag research assistant for posting some Twitters and the podcast live chat.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
But that's that. Really. Don't keep Gator going. Maybe we should start the tag train in every Discord channel again. We'll see if he really likes that.
Oh yeah, he really did find that leak too. Nice, nice. So thank you much, Helios. I'm gonna see if I can't. Just for context, I'm gonna pin that. So yes, in our podcast live chat, that will be a pinned tweet. In our Discord, that you could go to.
So if you aren't in the Discord, join it now. No excuses. You got a social media account out there. I'm sure you're on TikTok, Instagram, you name it, Facebook. Consider Discord your next social media account. Plus, it gives you a community to be a part of.
Indeed. And we welcome most, for sure. As long as you abide by the other golden rule. Don't be a dick.
That is the main point. And just be kind to others and courteous. Unless you spam me invites and then I might cuss at you.
Which means definitely spam me invites.
Definitely not.
Definitely.
The car business comes out of me then, and then that's when the cussing starts. Sometimes my kids get the brunt of it as well, especially when they're screaming.
I mean, that's fair. A lot of people might look at that as bad parenting, but...
My wife takes the nice approach, and when it doesn't work, I take the opposite approach. And
I mean...
And then mine ends up working when hers doesn't. Now, we don't condone beating kids.
Exactly. And it's like
more of a firm talking.
Exactly. Because it's not like straight out, like just hollering to holler or whatever, or yelling to yell. It's a fine tune, and it's something you really, like I said, for someone to say that being stern essentially is bad parenting is definitely a person that doesn't have kids.
And if you listen to Gary Vaynerchuk, the everybody wins mentality doesn't work either.
No.
Because then you get people that are sad when it doesn't go their way, and then that's what breeds some of this negative behavior and whining that I see a little bit in my kids, that they want to win every single time. It's always always got to win. I guess it's okay not to win. Do better next time.
Exactly. Use this you as have a to strive. You have to strive to win. Which, like I said, and don't be a douche.
Hashtag welcome most. Hashtag don't be a douche. You got it, Helios, right on the nose.
Indeed. we might be going into ramble mode. So, it might be about time to finally wrap up. And what I thought was going to be a short one. Not too much.
Welcome to RNG Cast 2.0.
Sorry, not sorry.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry. Des Raven, where can the lovely listeners find you, good sir?
You can, of course, find me in said Discord. Predominantly lurking, but I'm definitely there. I don't lurk as hard as I lurk on Twitter, which is almost just flat out ignoring it. And that would be at @DES_Raven. It is definitely at that time considering. Yeah. So Sin, where can we find you?
If I'm not lurking or twerking, I'll be over in the Discord hanging next to Des Raven, not spamming invites or over on Twitter at @Sin_media. You can find Kingsley Mac all the places at Kingsley Mac, except for Twitter, where he is MC Kingsley.
And you can find our show, The Guardian Hub, at our lovely website, theguardianhub.com.
The best hub on the net.
Love it. You do it justice. We do appreciate everybody coming out and listening live and also listening to us on your podcast app of choice. And until next week, bye.
Bye.